Morning. May it please the court. My name is Tom Nye, and I represent the appellant, Christus Spahn Health System. Plaintiffs allege a very tragic set of facts that they were switched at or following birth over 50 years ago at a county hospital, Clayburgh County Hospital. My client did not even exist back in 1969. It did not operate, run, or own the facility. It was not until 30 years after this alleged incident that my client purchased this facility, this hospital. This appeal involves a case of first impression in Texas. Both sides appreciate the opportunity to present oral argument on this very important case. The sole issue before this court is whether plaintiff's suit is a healthcare liability claim. Specifically, whether the hospital's alleged misidentification of babies at or following birth and placing them with the wrong set of parents is a healthcare liability claim. The answer to this question is an unequivocal yes. And that is because the essence of plaintiff's claims involve patient misidentification. Patient identification and alleged patient misidentification meet the definition of healthcare. Healthcare is the primary and dispositive issue for this appeal. One of the objectives of oral argument is to assist the court with any questions and to help the court join the issues between the parties. One of the best ways to do this is to take a look at the various positions between the parties. I have filed with the court two exhibits this morning with the clerk of the court, and I've asked the clerk to forward those exhibits onto the justices. I would like to point out to the justices Exhibit 1, Christus Spahn Oral Argument Exhibit 1, wherein we have defined the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code Section 74001 definition of a healthcare liability claim. This court can see there that it consists of three separate elements. The only element at issue on appeal is the second element, and that is whether or not there's a cause of action against a healthcare provider, a hospital, for a claim departure from accepted standards of medical care or health care or safety or professional or administrative services directly related to health care. Christus Spahn has raised four independent grounds for reversing the trial court's order. We have raised that this meets the definition of the statute under health care, under safety, three, under professional or administrative services, and four, that expert testimony is required. As such, each of these are an independent ground for reversing the trial court's order. I would like to leave the latter three issues involving safety, professional or administrative services, and the need for expert testimony to the briefs because they're aptly joined there. Unless the court has any questions, I'll be happy to entertain any questions on those issues.
Well, counsel, before we get started, I do have a question. What happens procedurally if we conclude that this is a healthcare liability? Because they did file an affidavit, did they not? So would we remand the case for further proceedings? Is that your understanding,
Mr. Yes, Nye? Yes, Justice Hinojosa, that is absolutely correct. If this court finds that it is a healthcare liability claim, the case would be remanded back to the trial court for further proceedings consistent as to whether or not the plaintiffs properly filed expert reports consistent with the statute. The trial judge never ruled on that issue, and so we must first decide whether or not this is a healthcare liability claim. Okay. Going back to Exhibit 1, we have raised these four independent grounds, and if we are correct, Christus Spahn is correct, that this is a case that's governed by the statute under healthcare, this court need not address the other three issues. I think it's important to point out in the statute that the legislature placed these terms in the disjunctive with an or. It says medical care or health care or safety or professional or administrative services. And that's important because the plaintiff's primary argument at trial and on appeal, no less than 19 times, was that this is not a healthcare liability claim because it does not involve any issues of medical care or treatment. We agree. It was never our contention before the trial court, and it's never been our contention on appeal that this case involves medical care. That's an important distinction. And if the court will look to the middle portion of our exhibit, the statute defines medical care for us. Medical care means practicing medicine by one licensed to practice medicine in the state, meaning physicians or doctors. Hospitals do not practice medicine. And we know from the Texas Supreme Court opinion in Zamarripa, footnote 36, that Texas law prohibits nurses from practicing medicine. So this case does not fall under the definition of medical care. Our argument has been and is today that it meets the definition of health care. And I would turn the court's attention to the bottom of Exhibit 1, where health care is also defined by the statute. Health care means any act performed or that should have been performed by any healthcare provider for, to, or on behalf of a patient during the patient's medical care, treatment, or confinement. Now, the starting point in determining whether or not plaintiff's claims meet this definition of healthcare is to determine, as the Supreme Court has said, what is the gravamen of plaintiff's claim? What's the essence or the core of plaintiff's claims? No less than 30 times in their pleadings and in their briefing and in their arguments before trial counsel, they assert that this case is all about improper patient identification. Nowhere is that better seen than the judicial admission made by plaintiffs in the response to our motion to dismiss, where at page 57 of the clerk's record, and I will quote, all of plaintiff's negligence claims relate to the misidentification of plaintiffs at or after birth. At its core, this case is about alleged patient misidentification. And so this court then must decide, well, does that meet the definition of health care? Turning again to that definition, it means any act. Well, the act alleged here is the act of misidentifying the children by putting the wrong bracelet on the child or the infant child, or the act of giving the incorrect infant to the non-biological parent, to the wrong set of parents. Those are acts performed, allegedly performed by the hospital, and ones that should have been performed differently, as they allege, by any healthcare provider. And here it's undisputed that the hospital and its personnel are healthcare providers for, to, or on behalf of a patient. Well, there's no dispute here that these infants born at the county hospital were patients of the hospital during the patient's medical care, treatment, or confinement. The period of stay during which they alleged that something went wrong was during their stay at the hospital, during their confinement at the hospital. Clearly, the plaintiff's allegations meet the broad definition of healthcare. And I would certainly ask counsel for the appellees to explain to the court why their allegation and their pleadings do not meet this broad definition of healthcare. I think it's very clear from the language of the statute. Now, consistent with a proper interpretation of the statute is how does the Supreme Court of Texas instruct courts to apply the Texas Medical Liability Act? And I would refer the justices to Exhibit 2 filed with the court. Here we can see that the Texas Supreme Court in Loaizaca stated that healthcare is, quote, broadly defined, as we've just gone over. And just this last year in Rogers versus Bagley, which is very instructive, and I'd ask the court to take a close look at that case because I think it is on all fours with respect to the law that should be applied here. The Texas Medical Liability Act cast a wide net. There in the middle of my exhibit, I set forth the language from both Loaizaca and from Rogers versus Bagley, where the courts state claims premised on facts that could support claims against a healthcare provider for departures from accepted standards of healthcare are healthcare liability claims. The word could is defined as indicating a possibility. And I think it's important to note that the Texas Supreme Court italicized the word could because they wanted to emphasize the broad scope of the statute. So looking at that language, is it possible that the plaintiffs have alleged facts that could support a claim by the hospital for departures from accepted standards of healthcare. They alleged that a hospital, our hospital, was departed from acceptable standards of medical care and healthcare because they did not place the children with the correct set of parents. That meets the language under the statute and meets the language set forth by the Texas Supreme Court.
Counsel, I have a question regarding standard of care. When we analyze the standard of care, would we look at today's standard of care, or would we have to determine what the standard of care was back in, 1969, when this incident occurred?
It would be in 1969, Your Honor. Yes, and that would go to our issue that we brought up with respect to the requirement or the need for expert testimony. There is a vast difference between the standard of care required of a hospital in 1969 and today's standards. I think we all know from our experiences the amount of security and identification that goes on whenever a child is born or transferred to and from the nursery or discharged home. That is not what was happening in 1969. And expert testimony is also going to be necessary as to what is the standard of care for a county hospital similarly situated like one in Claiborne County. Well, that's going to be vastly different than the standard of care of Methodist Hospital in Houston, Texas in 1969. And because standard of care would be required in order to by an expert in a case, then that also is an independent grounds for why this is a healthcare liability claim.
Is there any question as to whether or not there was an established, generally accepted standard of care with regards to patient identification in a nursery at that time?
There is nothing in the record, Justice Tiarina, as to whether or not there was an established standard of care. That would have to be determined by the expert reports filed by the plaintiffs and trying to meet the appropriate standard under this act. And so that would be incumbent upon them to set forth the appropriate standard of care. At the end of Exhibit 2, we can see that the Texas Supreme Court was very clear in saying that the broad language of the Texas Medical Liability Act evidences legislative intent for the statute to have expansive application. And I would urge this court to apply its expansive application of the alleged facts of this case to the broad definition of healthcare. Finally, we have cited no less than 7 articles, which both national and international articles, that set forth that patient identification is an essential part of and critical to the proper administration of healthcare. And as such, that lends additional support as to why this is a healthcare liability claim. So I see that my time is up, and I will sit down and turn over my time to counsel for appellate.
Counsel, you may proceed.
Your Honors, this is Deborah Race here on behalf of Cynthia Rector and Mary Hyde. I would agree that the issue before this court is whether this is a healthcare liability before the court today. Counsel essentially argues what my co-counsel in the trial court advised the trial court is they argue really that any act that occurs in a hospital is going to be a healthcare liability claim. And counsel cites to the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, the definition of healthcare liability, and then healthcare. And I would point out again, when he read the definition of healthcare, which is any act performed or furnished, or that should have been performed or furnished by any healthcare provider for, to, or on behalf of the patient during the patient's medical care, treatment, or confinement. We are here today because of what occurred at the discharge of these babies. At that time, the two babies, and I don't know what time before in the hospital, but that doesn't matter. It's what happened on discharge. There was no diagnosis, prognosis, or medical procedure involving handing the babies over to their parents.
And but let me ask you this. Have the facts been developed as far as when the misidentification occurred? Did it occur at the departure or did it occur while the babies were there? in the hospital, you know, the day before?
Those facts have not been developed yet. And our position is that may have occurred, that may occur in hospitals every day at some point, but it's upon the discharge in this case that's critical. These two babies went home with the wrong families. And that's where the negligence lies. What counsel said to the trial court is that if this were accurately the case, then this statute could have been written on one page. Just because a hospital employee commits an act that may originate remotely from a hospital patient relationship shouldn't result in that act always being a healthcare liability claim. And that's our position. In this particular case, again, it was on discharge. And in their reply brief, they note that, again, this is any act that occurs during the patient's confinement. There was, again, no more diagnosis, prognosis, or medical procedures that were going to be performed. These two babies were being sent home to their parents. And so...
Why isn't patient identification not related? How is it not related to healthcare?
I don't believe in this case it is related to healthcare. A patient identification, yes, if you're identifying a patient for surgery, et cetera. This is discharging a patient. This is something that any layperson that hears this story is going to say there was obvious negligence. This is not a situation that the statute, the medical healthcare liability statute, was designed to address. This is not a case where you've got a lay juror that needs to understand what happened. We understand you gave the babies to the wrong parents. And that's kind of the sum of the story. I agree that misidentification could indeed be a healthcare liability claim based on under what circumstances. Misidentification in some of the cases cited could deal with delivering the wrong patient for surgery, et cetera. That's not what we've got here. We've got treatment through, medical care is through, and they delivered the wrong babies to the parents to go home.
But isn't the act of discharging also an act performed by the hospital?
I don't think it's an act performed by the hospital relating to their health care. That would be my answer to that.
Can you provide us a scenario where a hospital responsible for switching two children at birth would constitute a healthcare liability claim?
Again, switching them in the hospital on discharge or at what time, Your Honor? In your question, are you just saying in general, would there be a situation? I think in answer to your question, if they switch the babies in relationship to a treatment or some kind of prognosis or diagnosis or something like that, yes, because that would be related to health care. If they switch them on discharge, give them to the wrong parents when all diagnosis and treatment has concluded, I don't think it's related to health care. I don't think it's intended to address what the Healthcare Liability Act was intended to address.
Would you agree that the mother and the child are both patients receiving treatment up until the time of discharge at the hospital?
Yes, I think the mother and child are both patients. I don't know about receiving treatment at that point once the child is delivered, but they are both patients at the hospital.
Well, I don't operate in a nursery or anything, but I'm guessing they take temperatures and do other things to make sure that the child is well, correct?
Yes. Yes, I believe that's true. Your Honor.
Oh, I have a question, a threshold question. I mean, why is Krista Spahn, or why are you asserting that Krista Spahn is responsible for this? I mean, we understand, we acknowledge the very tragic circumstance when the entity didn't exist at the time, the children were born, or the appellees were born.
Your Honor, that is certainly a defense that Krista Spahn can raise. Our position is under the purchase agreement that they would be held liable for the acts of the prior hospital. We don't deny that, that's a defense they can raise at the trial court, but we think cutting this case off at this point by saying it's a healthcare liability claim is not the right avenue procedurally. So that would be my answer there. We don't deny that they can raise that defense, and we expect them to. But back to the argument, I know he did not address the other three prongs, but just briefly, I would like to address all of my argument because I don't get to come back. Again, in their brief, they again cite the statute that they filed this morning. In both briefs, we discussed DiversiCare quite a bit. And I would point to that case, if you look in there where the court was reaching its decision, it cited to a Michigan case where the court said that to determine whether it was a medical negligence or ordinary negligence depended on whether the facts allegedly raised issues within common knowledge and experience of the jury, or alternatively raised issues relating to medical judgment. We don't believe that this case raises either. We don't think you have to have an expert on this case, an expert report. We think it's within the layman's knowledge that this was ordinary negligence. We don't think it involved any medical judgment whatsoever. So that to me, even diverse under DiversiCare, we don't think we are a healthcare liability claim.
Counsel, if we conclude it is in fact a healthcare liability claim, would you agree that the reports provided are so deficient as to constitute no report at all?
No, I would not agree with that. That goes to another theory that we raised that I don't think is ripe on the appeal, but the res ipsa loquitur, in our opinion, relieves us from having the causation element within the expert report. So again, I think that would be something for the trial court to rule on, which is whether or not those expert reports complied when you consider the res ipsa loquitur finding. Your Honor, they, like, as I said, they have conceded that we don't raise a medical care or treatment argument. So again, if you look at the definition or confinement, these babies are being discharged. The medical treatment is concluded. We don't think that that would apply. The other prong that they raised in their briefing, and I imagine they will talk about in rebuttal, is the safety, protecting a patient from physical harm or danger, essentially. A safety-related claim is one, and again, as I believe counsel pointed out, in the statute, you have a series of four. You have safety or professional or administrative services directly related to healthcare. There's been quite a bit of debate in the courts and in the Supreme Court, some dissension on these professional or administrative services directly related to healthcare, whether that directly related to healthcare applies to safety as well. It has been determined by the court to date that that prong does not, but it has also been discussed that it still has to have some indirect relationship to the medical care or treatment, to the healthcare. The safety, the cases that are cited for the safety prong mostly deal with intentional torts, assaults. Was an entity required to determine someone's need for either restrict their movements or protect them or whatever? We don't believe safety encompasses what happened here. My understanding of safety and looking at the definitions that they put in their brief, again, there's nothing here that we're talking about that we're keeping the infants safe per se. You had two sets of parents that had babies, were excited to have their babies, I imagine, But the babies went home with the wrong people. And so I don't see that any kind of safety proceeding or safety precaution in the hospital was going to make any difference. Again, if you look back at our pleading, just because something occurs in the hospital, it is not necessarily related to the rendition of medical services. And that's where they're wanting this court to go. They talk about the broad definition of healthcare and the broad application of the act. Again, if you took what they're saying is true, then anything that happened in a hospital would be a medical liability act. And I know in their reply brief, they talked about looking back as to the genesis of the medical health or the healthcare liability act is not relevant, but I think it is relevant. If you look at why that act was created when it was to stem a flood of medical malpractice suits. It was to determine at the front end whether those claims have merit. I don't think there's any debate that this claim has merit. Does the hospital potentially have defenses? Yes. But the claim has merit. You have two babies given to the wrong parents and raised by those parents with a wealth of disparity in the families. And obviously anyone can determine that finding this information out is going to be disturbing. So I don't think it's debatable that you have negligence. I don't think it's debatable that there's a cause of action. So you look at the intention of the Healthcare Liability Act, there's no purpose served here by ruling that's what this is at all. And I don't think by ruling that this case is a healthcare liability claim, the court in any way opens a floodgate. I think this is a pretty unique set of circumstances. Again, the hospital may have defenses. They are certainly free to bring them. But to throw out this case on the basis of a improper expert report, to me, is wrong and premature.
Ms. Race, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Nye, and that is, I guess it doesn't matter whether there is now, but was there a standard of care for the delivery, identification, care, and then discharge of a child that a doctor, nurses, hospital staff have to apply when going through the whole delivery system and taking or giving the babies to their parents in a small hospital, in a larger hospital, in a giant hospital? Is there or was there a standard of care
I would agree with Mr. Nye that as far as this record goes, I see no standard of care at that time that we're aware of or that anyone has opined on in this particular case. So I guess I would give you the same answer that he did. I think the standard of care, again, would be an ordinary negligence standard. Was there a second question or?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you. The other prong is professional or administrative services. These do have to be directly related to healthcare. Again, it's our position, this is not healthcare. And back to the earlier arguments, it had nothing to do with the diagnosis, treatment, prognosis, any kind of healthcare related claim that had to do with these babies or mothers.
Counsel, let me ask you a question regarding administrative services. Where would you, can you envision a scenario where administrative services would be directly related to healthcare? That,
yes, Your Honor.
Is it discharge administrative duty or service?
Yes, the cases have pointed to when you have certain administrative services in a hospital that are necessary for that hospital's licensure or accreditation, and same with a doctor and all, those are presumed to be administrative services, professional services directly related to healthcare. So there are those that would fall into this particular category. That is not the case here. There is no administrative or professional service pointed to in this case that would be directly related to the licensure or accreditation of the hospital. They have pointed to a statute relating to misidentification or abduction, missing infants, that type of thing. We don't have that. We don't have an abduction. We don't have a missing infant. That statute was clearly enacted to prevent what we've all heard of, which is people going into hospitals to get a baby or steal a baby or something like that. So yes, there are administrative or professional services that would be directly related to healthcare, and those are those that are necessary for accreditation or licensing, and we don't have that here. They cite a case in their brief that there's no administrative service more related to the rendition of health care than the memorialization of that care. There's nothing in this case, in the pleadings, in the briefing, that have anything to do with memorializing or the improper memorialization of health care. There's no records, actually. I'm sure this court noticed that the actual medical records in this case were destroyed in a fire. So they don't exist, to my knowledge. So there's no claim that the memorialization of the healthcare was incorrect in any way. If you look at the professional administrative services, again, if they are related or a condition of keeping your license or your accreditation, then they are directly related. So, Your Honor, to sum up, the main question, Your Honors, the main question before you is this a healthcare liability claim? And we submit that the answer is it is not, for a variety of reasons. We don't think it's related to the treatment, to the care, to any act that should have been performed on behalf of a patient during that patient's medical care, treatment, or confinement. We submit that the holding that it is a healthcare liability claim would not in any way comport with the meaning or reasons behind the enactment of that statute. So we do not believe it's a healthcare liability claim, and we would therefore ask this court to affirm the decision of the trial court and let this case proceed accordingly. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Kim. I don't know, Mr. Nye doesn't appear to be on screen. Oh, there he is. Okay.
May it please the court. I think Justice Tiarina was on point in saying that even a discharge is an act committed by the hospital. Clearly it is. All hospitals have discharge procedures in place whenever a patient is let go from a hospital setting. And that act of discharging a patient, and as the plaintiffs are arguing here, with the wrong set of parents, meets the definition of health care. As I understand plaintiff's argument, they're saying that because there was no diagnosis, prognosis, or medical procedures taking place at the time of the medical care, treatment, or confinement, it does not meet the definition of healthcare. Well, again, I think Justice Giarina pointed out that there's ongoing treatment with babies once they're born, taking their temperature, monitoring them, taking care of them, transferring them to and from their parents. All of those are actions that are consistent with the definition of healthcare. Number two, plaintiff's interpretation of how this court should follow the definition of healthcare is extremely narrow. They're asking for the court to apply that because the discharge was technically after any medical care, treatment, or confinement, it takes it out of the realm of healthcare. That's inconsistent with the Texas Supreme Court's expansive application of the act and the casting of a broad net or facts alleged that could support a claim. Again, totally inconsistent with the mandates of the Texas Supreme Court and how this court should apply the act. Also, I would also urge this court to take a look at their plaintiff's pleadings in this case. My recollection, and I could be wrong, but my recollection is they don't allege a single incident that this whole negligence, failure of below the standard of care by Krista Spahn occurred on discharge after medical care, treatment, or confinement. No, it's just a general allegation of patient misidentification, and that is what the Supreme Court says that courts should do, is you look at the gravamen of the claim. What is the gist of the claim? And the gist of the claim here is that at some point in time during the hospitalization that these babies were switched and placed with the wrong parents when they went home. So I think plaintiff's very narrow interpretation is inconsistent with what they've pled, is inconsistent with the mandates of the Texas Supreme Court on how the act should be applied, and certainly does not meet the definition of health care. I think the term during the patient's medical care, treatment, or confinement is talking about a period of time during which the alleged incident took place. And clearly their allegations fit within that period of time. And as such, it meets the definition of healthcare. I would also like to respond to plaintiff's claims that the defendant's position that any act committed at the hospital would be a healthcare liability claim. That's not correct. That's not our position. That's not the position of the case law of this state. We cited two cases in our brief that if the nexus, the substantial substantive nexus between the claim and the incident is just the location that it occurred at a hospital. For example, a slip of fall occurs at a hospital or there's a sexual assault and the only connection to the hospital is the location. That is not a healthcare liability claim. Now, the facts alleged here vary greatly with those very limited incidences where the courts have held that these are not healthcare liability claims. This is a much broader allegation of acts committed by hospital personnel in handing a child to the wrong set of parents. Clearly, under that allegation and the broad definition of healthcare, it meets the definitions under the statute. I would also like to address that there is no allegation here with respect to that all treatments had been completed. That's just a very unique and narrow argument raised for the first time in oral argument, and it's not supported by the arguments before the trial court or in the pleadings. And so that hyper-technical analysis with respect to when the discharge took place should not be controlling here. Finally, with respect to standard of care, I would point out that the plaintiff is required to meet under the Texas Civil Practice and Limited Remedies Code 74351 that the standard of care of the hospital at that time, breach of the standard of care, and causation. And that is not an issue before this court here. The only issue is it or is it not a healthcare liability claim? And if this court agrees with Krista Spahn, then yes, the case would be remanded back to the trial court for determination of whether or not the expert reports filed by the plaintiffs met standard of care, breach of the standard of care, and causation. Unless the court has any additional questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time back to the court.
I don't believe so. Thank you, Mr. Nye and Ms. Ray.